Oh, this is appropriate. Just leave me alone. That's what Russell Westbrook looked last night during the Lakers preseason game at Crypto.com Arena. And, you know, at this point, you know, we're just talking about this off the air. John Wollum.
Yeah.
John Wollum. By the way, your name has become a verb.
What?
To John Wall.
To John Wall. To be
John Wall.
John Wall. John Wall, by the way, who wrote a great story about what it was like for his struggles coming back to the NBA. Really rooting for that guy on a personal level.
Sure.
From the Clippers side. But yeah, I think you're right. Mainly because, like, I think we've learned in the last probably five seasons of the NBA, Mace, we've learned so much about how public optics in the NBA really do matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as much as we can talk about, you think about like the Draymond situation, oh, that happened behind closed doors, stuff like this happens all the time. Or you think about what's happening with the Nets, oh, these guys are just kind of beefing in the media, nobody really cares. Well, their season turned on its head and they were terrible.
Right.
And now, in the NBA, it is fair to understand that if your team is publicly beefing, you're probably not going to do very well.
Right.
That is a very real part of where we are with sort of the NBA ecosystem, I think, communicatively. And so this isn't some situation where you can look at it and just say, oh, they got it under control, obviously. It's just a matter of playing basketball. No, it's not. It's bigger than that. And for as much as Westbrook can give you on the court potentially, whatever you're sacrificing in camaraderie, I think, is just too big to leverage against at this point.
Well,
it doesn't make sense to me, depending on, and I don't want to be a body language reader guy, but I can listen to the things that the people say, and I can watch the basketball, and I can see that this doesn't make sense.
Yeah, the video is not cleverly manipulated. It is exactly what happened last night. We can see it. I'm gonna take Russ's side here for a second, just
okay.
For we all reach a point in life where we are who we are. We do what we do. We want what we want. That's where Russell Westbrook is.
Some of us in this room might be there.
I mean, I'm certainly there.
I want
what I want. Do what I do. Take it or leave it.
Right.
And I think that's the message Russell Westbrook is conveying by not going to the team huddle and not listening to Patrick Beverley when everybody's trying to gather up and all those video clips that are out there. He's just like, I'm Russell Westbrook. This is how I do things. I don't really care what anybody thinks about it.
And that's why this is so kind of distressing to hear him say, oh, well, I've been doing this routine ever since I got into the league. Y'all just found out about it. And to then say, oh, well, I was listening to advice from coaches. I wasn't listening to my team. Neither one of those options is necessarily what anybody wants. It doesn't make them bad.
Right.
But it's just an indication of sort of how he operates, which is fine.
Yeah.
But it's to your point. He does what he does.
Yeah.
You want to fall in line. But last time I checked, the Larry O'Brien Trophy wasn't walking through that door with Russell Westbrook's hands around it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it never has. And so, like, at some point, the Lakers have to make a decision on whether or not this is something they want to deal with. And I almost think this is well out of sort of the LeBron territory.
Right.
I think we're into the front office of the team legitimately has to make a decision on what they're going to do from a money and a roster, you know, roster spot standpoint, because it's clear that this is well beyond any of the guys on the team now.
Yes.
Whatever workouts him and Patrick Beverley had in the offseason clearly did not have an effect.
No. Nope.
And what LeBron says from a leadership standpoint is immaterial, because he's going to do what he wants.
Let me throw another wrinkle in here. This is another subtle sign.
Okay.
Anthony Davis last night. By the way, 877-710-ESPN. You want to ring through anything World Series. I'm planning ahead. NLDS, what happened with Westbrook, all that stuff. Straight to the title. All right.
Wow.
I trust coach. This is Anthony Davis talking about himself in the third person.
Okay.
He said, I trust coach's decision. I mean, I'm pretty sure he heard AD wants to play the four, so he knows where I stand. But at the end of the day, I want to win. So if that's me playing the five, that's what it's got to be. All of the most effective Laker lineups over the last couple of years have had Anthony Davis at the five. And he's still expressing, I like to play the four. Now, he says he will play the five.
Right.
But again, there's just something subtly not right about that.
What don't you like about it?
I don't like people who talk about themselves in the third person.
Really?
That's one thing.
Really?
That's the thing about Steve Mason. He hates people who talk about themselves in the third
person.
He only did it once.
I sort of feel like he was referring to like his basketball persona.
Right.
AD wants to play the four, but I feel that I can play the five.
I guess what I'm expecting is for him to fully embrace playing the five. Because that's what Darvin has talked about, and we do not have size on our roster.
How long do you think? Let's just say, and I want to bring Greg in on this as well because he's a major Laker honk.
Yep.
Give me a holiday or special day by which you think this is going to gel. I'll give you Halloween. I'll give you Thanksgiving. I'll give you Christmas. I'll give you New Year's.
Easter. Now, Easter, we could be totally screwed by Easter.
Exactly.
Think we'll know New Year's.
That was awesome, by the way. Easter. I did not have that. I was not even close to that. New Year's to gel.
Yeah, New Year's to gel. That's we'll know what we've time. Got at New Year's.
That's a long time to gel.
Well, they're not playing for the 1, the 2, the 3, the 4. They're playing for the 6, the 7, the 8.
They're playing for the 8 seed.
They're playing for the play-in tournament.
You think the
right, which
focus
means
of the season
literally playing eight, nine, for ten. The 8 seed.
I would argue that if Anthony Davis, huge if Anthony Davis and LeBron stay healthy and play, that there's no reason why this team can't be the 6.
How many times have you said that in the last 3 years?
I think I said it 3 times this week.
I mean, let's just be real.
That's the standard take on the list.
Including a highly combustible Russell situation,
yeah.
Including a new head coach, including Patrick Beverley being who knows what.
Yep.
You think that there's still just standard issue? LeBron and AD are there. They're in six company. I don't think so, man.
They've got 2 of the 10 best players in the game when healthy.
They were 15 games under 500 last
year. Yeah, I know, but those guys missed tons of games.
How many games were they
Anthony
under 500
Davis played 30-something, and LeBron played 50, maybe?
Okay, so 54,
they
make,
how many games under 500 were they last year?
16.
16.
Yeah.
So let's just say all those things happen. You think that they not only get to 500, they surpass it?
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
I do.
I'm with you, though. I think I'm with Mace, though. If, like, let's say we do the Mace thing and we John Wall, Russell Westbrook.
Okay. Yes.
I think this team will gel a lot better and can actually be pretty good.
Let me sneak in a phone call.
So by St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day, there you go. Let me go to Chad in Santa Clarita. Hey, Chad, you're on 710. What's up, man?
Hey, Mace, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, yeah, I heard you guys talking about video doesn't lie. And, you know, the only video that I saw, that it was one angle of Westbrook. And you can't even see Westbrook in the video. You just see everybody else kind of trying to call him over, but you can't even see Westbrook. So I think that people just make a big deal about one angle. I want to see the other angle of Westbrook and what he actually was doing. I don't think he was intentionally shading his teammate.
Chad, but let me ask you this. You realize where we are at this point. We're Zapruder filming in-game videos of a guy to prove that he's in sync with his team. This cannot be good no matter what videos you see, no?
Yeah, no, I mean, you make a good point on that. I understand that it's not perfect, and, you know, this whole thing with Westbrook has been crazy, and I think just being in L.A. kind of makes it bigger than it really is, but, you know, obviously, as a Laker fan, I just want everything to work out, and,
obviously,
AD and LeBron to be healthy, that's what we need.
All right. Hey, Chad, thank you very much for the phone call. David was at the game last night, NLDS game number 2. Hey, David, what's up?
Hey, how are you guys? Thanks for taking my call, Steve.
Yeah.
So I was at the Lakers game yesterday.
Oh, at the Lakers game. Okay, got it.
All right, staying on point.
Yeah, I was at the game, and I was sitting behind a basket about, I would say, like 5-6 rows back.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, as a Laker fan, I really do hope that this could work out. I want the best for Russ. But seriously, there was times at the game where Russ was coming off the bench, and as fans, we were cheering to get this guy motivated. But, you know, I don't think this is going to work. You could tell yesterday all the fans were into it. They were backing him. They were supporting him. He shot a couple of threes that didn't go in. Nobody booed him. I'm telling you, every time he came in off the bench, we were all cheering. But there's something about Russ that he's just not feeling it, and I don't think this is going to work. It's sad to say.
Yeah. All right, thank you very much for the phone call. Very optimistic take.
The ick factor is where we are. You know how they say when you get the ick for something, you just can't? That's kind of feels like where Russell is, or maybe even they are with him, you know? Not great.
Yeah, it is not good. It is not good. And I still think there's a possibility that he gets traded in season.
That seems extra hectic just because bringing in extra people. Like, I don't know. I don't think that that's a bad option, but I do think that we're at a point now where, man, how much can you mess with the chemistry of this roster? over and over and over again, bringing new guys mid-season, that's end of season, turning things over. Like, at some point, you got to play with the guys you got or, you know, make a choice.
But with Russ, I think it might be addition by subtraction.
That's possible. I just, you know, again, you're still bringing them into the LeBron zone, though. All new guys, you know what I mean? And whenever you're dealing with LeBron James, new guys, it's always a question of whether or not they're going to work with LeBron. And we can see that Russell hasn't, so we don't know what's happened.
So I actually want to go back to something you said earlier.
Yeah.
You said you're not the smartest person in your family because you're really smart. Like, who's the smartest person in your family?
Easily. This is not close. My doctor, Kim Yates, my sister, Dr. Kim Yates, who is a PhD of English, she teaches other teachers. She is the dean of education at a high school.
Yeah,
she teaches other teachers how to be better teachers.
So she's super smart.
She's super smart, yes.
Yeah.
I was there when she presented her PhD defense. It was cool.
I can honestly say I think I am the smartest person in my family. I think that's true.
Greg, where are you in the Bergman Power Rankings of smart people?
Probably third of four.
Third of four?
Wow.
Yeah.
Making the
medal
stand, though.
Yeah, I made it.
Who's the smartest person in the family?
Between my dad and my brother, but I'd probably say my dad.
That's probably safe, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's probably safe.
My brother is much smarter than I am.
I've dealt with his brother. His brother's a cannabis attorney. I've worked with him on some projects and stuff. And
some projects.
Very smart human.
Very
really?
Smart.
Okay.
Very calm.
That's good to know.
Jorge, what about you? Are you the smartest person in the family?
I don't even chart, man.
You're not even on the chart? Who's the smartest person in your family?
My mother is.
Is she?
Yeah.
What about her?
I don't even chart.
What about her?
She's beautiful. She's smart. You know, she's my mother.
She runs the show.
Exactly.
Yeah. I do think it's me. I don't have great street smarts.
You don't say.
I'm super naive.
You look like a Venice hobo, but you don't have great street smarts.
I'm super naive. So I think I told this story before, but
I don't chart because I'm the smartest.
I'm too trusting.
Yes,
I trust
that.
People
I
too
see
much.
That. I could see that being the case.
So years ago, I was, and this is my first time in L.A., God, it was like 1987, and camcorders were a big deal.
Okay.
And I thought,
videos don't lie. We heard this before.
I'm going to go home for Christmas, and this guy at a gas station says, hey, I've got some camcorders. Do you want one?
Some hot camcorders?
And I'm like, okay, yeah. He said, okay, it's $100 for a camcorder.
12 times optical zoom and everything.
Yeah. And it's $100.
We're talking big or like?
No, like little
viewfinder.
You know, camcorder
okay.
kind of thing. And so I said, I don't have $100 on me. He said, show up tomorrow at exactly the same time with $100 and I'll get you a camcorder. I'm like, all right.
This is how people were doing business in the 80s.
So I pull into the gas station the next day and the guy is there. And he says, okay, let me get in your car. We'll drive over to where the camcorders are. And I said, okay, that seems to make sense. And he guided me over towards the post office where we parked. And he said, give me the money and I'll be right back. And I said, no, I'm not going to give you the money without the camcorder. He said, well, give me 60. I'm like, that seems reasonable. I'll give you 60. It's kind of a down payment on the camera. Never comes back.
Of course not.
Never comes back.
Of course not.
I was so trusting. I'm so naive. Still, I trust everybody.
So why do you think you're the smartest person again?
I said I don't have street smarts. I have a beautiful mind, but I don't have.
The math ain't mathing on that one, Steve.
You don't think so?
No.
Just because I'm trusting.
First of all, I was not doing business on the street in 1987.
Yeah.
But I can tell you that at 6 years old that I was in 1987, even I would not have done that.
Yeah, you wouldn't have fallen for that trick.
I would not have gone for the old banana in the tailpipe, as they like to say.
I'm dumb. In that respect, I'm dumb. I tend to trust people. But I'm telling you, this is a beautiful mind. You can't even imagine what's going on in here.
No, in fact, I cannot.
Yeah. All right, coming up next for you, our friend Anita Marks, who I just found out, who you know is a big dog person.
Correct.
We'll do some gambling, and I want to hear about her dogs coming up next, too. She's got BetLA coming up tonight here at 8 on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And joining us right now is Anita Marks. Bet LA is on Thursday night, tonight at 8 p.m. It is sponsored by Tiza. Get more focus, get more energy in your daily life with Tiza Nutrient Pouches. Visit TizaEnergy.com and make your mouth happy. So, Anita, I didn't know this until Clinton told me you're a big dog person. I'm a huge dog person.
Hi, Anita.
Hi. Yes, at one point in time, I had five dogs. In a 980 square foot apartment here in New York City.
Yep.
My oldest dog was 23, which I think.
Wow.
If I, yes. Yeah, 23, and then my second oldest was 18. Unfortunately, I just lost both of them in the last year and a half. Mm-hmm. But I have three more, and so my two oldest were rat terriers, and I called them the Golden Girls, and I have three Chihuahuas, and I call them the Littles. So I still have three left.
Nice. Yeah, you sent a picture. I'll retweet that. Anita's dog. I'm a huge dog person. Yeah. Clinton's dog person. Yeah. And we love our dogs. So four is a handful. How did you get your dogs to live? So I've got one who's 16. I can't imagine she's going to make it to 23.
Don't say that.
Well, but, I mean.
Realistic. Listen, this is what I don't know. Like I tell people all the time, like I treat my dog, like I feed my dogs non-grain. Like I feed my dogs as if they have like celiacs, right? Like,
yeah.
Like how does a dog live long? Well, you buy it expensive food, right?
Right.
And I don't know if they're advertising with you, but like Farmer's Dog, we need to get them on board as an advertiser.
Let's get them on.
I
mean,
all right.
I know, right?
Calling them up.
I truly feel like. You know, the healthier food you feed your dog, the longer they're going to live. So I'm not doing witchcraft here. It's just you take good care of your dogs, they'll live long.
Right. All right. So Anita, last week you warned me about the Rams, and I was there, and it was worse than you thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
So it
sounds like you need a hug. I'm across the country.
Yeah, I won't be hugging you today.
Sorry.
No.
I'm not available for those services.
It's very disappointing. It's very difficult to handle. But I think, you know, we talked to Sean McVay yesterday, and I strongly believe. Now, I would not. The point spread is enormous. The point spread, I think, is 10 points in that game. I would not lay the points
the
by any stretch of the imagination.
10 points?
10-point favorites over Carolina.
I wouldn't do it either.
With P.J. Walker quarter. I think they will win the game. And Ireland makes fun of me because I think this is a must-win game for the Rams. I think they absolutely must win. It's the weakest team on your schedule. They just fired their coach. Some guy named P.J. Walker is playing quarterback. And you got San Francisco and Tampa Bay coming up next. You've got to win that game. That's why I think on the money line, the Rams are a good bet. What do you think?
I think Carolina getting 10 is the good bet. I just got off the phone with David Newton, who covers this Carolina Panthers team. And this is a team that's rejuvenated. Keep in mind, a lot of guys in that locker room know that now that Matt Rhule's gone, they don't have that guy in their corner that brought them in free agency. They don't have that guy in their corner who drafted them in the NFL draft. They know they're going to have to ball out the remainder of the season in order to get that deal they want or get re-signed or whatever the case may be, because somebody else is going to come in to run the ship, and they got to make sure that they still have a job next season. So also, don't sleep on P.J. Walker now. Everybody in this locker room loves P.J. Walker. Like, everybody loves P.J. Walker. 2-0 in his two starts with a point differential of 54-10. And I buried the lead here, guys. Really, it's not so much about the Carolina Panthers. It's more about how horrendous this Rams offense is. And Carolina, top 10 in pressure rate. And they blitz 33%. So if that Rams offensive line and Matthew Stafford don't find a way to not get sacked and not turn the ball over with that Carolina Panthers defense, like, take P.J. Walker out of the equation. They do have talent on that offense. I think the play here is Carolina getting 10. Now, I do believe the Rams win. I do believe the Rams win. Whew. But if you're telling me where, if and I'm not putting money on this game.
No,
I am not
shying away from the game altogether.
I am not putting money on this game, but if I was to wager it, I think the play would be Carolina getting the points.
And yeah, let me ask you in general, this season in the NFL, a lot of bad football, quite frankly.
No, you've been talking to Tom?
Yeah. I'm just saying that, like, in general, I'm wondering from those in the
Tom, we all can't be you.
In the wagering business, how has this season been different more generally in terms of, you know, who you're deciding to take money on, what you're deciding to spend on? Like, nobody has looked like anybody's any good, to be quite frank, outside of like two teams this season.
Yeah. I do a deep dive into trends, right? And like, so for example, you know, you've got both the Giants and the Packers who are coming back from London who aren't going into a bye week. So, guys, the fourth quarter,
I didn't even think that was
they're going to be spent.
Yeah.
They're going to be spent.
So it's the Giants and the
Packers
and the
who
Packers.
Are coming back from London.
Yep.
So you want to bet the Jets in the fourth quarter, and you want to bet the Ravens in the fourth quarter.
Okay.
Because by the time those two teams get to the fourth, they are going to be there's going to be no gas left in that tank.
Right.
So little things like that. Like, so for example, folks, this might shock some folks. Do you know the Seattle Seahawks have the second best offense in the NFL behind the Buffalo Bills?
Geno Smith
Eugene
is
Cyril
it up.
Smith
yeah.
the third.
Yeah,
don't
is.
Forget and, his name.
And do you know that the Arizona Cardinals have been outscored 38-0 in the first quarter? They have not put up a point.
Wow.
In the first
quarter. So you're loving Seattle. Seattle minus two?
I love Seattle in the first quarter. I love Seattle in the first half. It's my best bet this week.
What about the I'm going to get to USC, but what about the there are two really, really big games. Dallas is at Philadelphia, and I've got it as Philly minus, best you can get, 6.5. Where are you on that game?
So here's the thing. As great of as the Cooper Rush story is, right? Like, you love to see a backup quarterback come in and do well.
Yeah, he like threw 78 yards against the Rams.
Exactly. He's only tossed 6 touchdowns in 5 games. Sorry, that's not going to suffice with this Fly Eagles team. It is not. I mean, they are just offensively, they are a juggernaut. And so also you've got Michael Parsons who's dealing with a groin issue. He said that he's going to play. I don't doubt it, but will he be a shell of himself? Potentially, right?
Yep.
Here's another thing. Dallas in the red zone, they rank 30th. In regard to just getting into the red zone.
Right.
They can't even get in within 20 yards of the touchdown.
By the way, even in the game against the Rams, the offense was pretty incompetent. I mean, Tony Pollard broke a tackle and went to the house, and the Rams handed him 10 points on turnovers. So it was not a productive offensive day for Dallas. It was just the Rams kind of handed it to him.
So I just don't think they're going to have enough.
So you like Philly? Would you bet Philly minus 6.5?
Yes, and run don't walk. Get to the window now before this jumps up to 7. You get it at 6.5. It's great. Also, I'm going to use the Eagles as a 2-team 6-point teaser. So you take two teams and you use the 6 points and you go one direction or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go in the direction of the Eagles and I'm going to tease them down to 0.5 point.
Speaking of craptastic NFL games, what about today's matchup?
Oh boy,
Thursday Night Football. What are your
beaut.
Thoughts on that?
Honestly, Prime Video deserves a refund for tonight and last week.
I'm on the Bears. I'm going to play the Bears on the money line. I think they win straight up. Listen, this Washington, Bram Weinstein, who's part of the broadcast team.
I know Bram.
Yeah, so I've been texting with him all day. Washington is a disaster, man.
Yeah.
I mean, Ron Rivera, what he said,
yep.
Now having to go back and apologize to Carson Wentz. Carson, this is the third team and the third time he's been thrown under the bus by an organization. Something's up. You know, I've spoken to some cats who played with him in Philadelphia. There's just something off. He's just not a locker room guy. Ron Rivera's comments, I don't think, are going to bode well. And listen, this is a Bears team, even though they've lost their last two, but they only lost by one score. Their offense is coming around. It's becoming, you know, Justin Fields is finally throwing the ball a little bit. And so, you know, I think it's going to be an ugly game. But I think at the end of the day, especially weather conditions, wind is like 25, 30 miles an hour right now at Soldier Field. So, and the Bears can run the ball extremely well. You get that 1-2 punch in the backfield with Montgomery and Herbert. So I'm on the Bears tonight. It's going to be ugly, but I'm on the Bears.
Probably the showcase. I think the showcase game of the week is Buffalo at Kansas City.
Definitely.
Last time these two teams played, it was just an extraordinary playoff game. I think they scored four touchdowns in the final 2 minutes.
One of the better football games I've ever seen in my life. Yeah.
What do you like in this game?
So Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes as a home dog. I'm taking the points. Are you kidding me? I mean, come on. Mahomes is 7-0-1 against the spread as a home dog. You know, Kansas City, their defense, Chris Jones, here's the weakness with the Buffalo Bills, okay? Mm-hmm. The Buffalo Bills' interior offensive line is ranked 26th in the NFL. Now they're going to be going up against Chris Jones. So I'm not saying that he's going to get to Josh Allen, because Josh Allen is so elusive and of course, such a great athlete. But he's going to disrupt things. On top of that, Kansas City gets Trent McDuffie back, one of their DBs, which is great. The Bills, as we know, they've got a lot of issues in the secondary. They still have a lot of their starters. Tre'Davious White is still out. They've still got a lot of starters that aren't going to be playing. They play a lot of zone coverage, which Mahomes thrives in. And here's a really good nugget for you. Hmm. Brad Allen is going to be the officiating crew for this game. Home teams win 62% of the time straight up with Brad Allen reffing since 2016, okay? And
that's a mind-boggling deep cut, Anita.
Wait, it gets even better. Home dogs cover at 67% Brad Allen.
Jump all over that Brad Allen. Brad Allen.
I'm going to be Brad Allen for Halloween.
Brad Allen, man. That Brad Allen, I tell you.
He's
all
trouble.
About the home team. He's all about the home teams. Wow. Listen, I always love to do a deep dive to find out what refs are officiating what games, because the trends hold true and they're usually up in the 60 or 75% rate in regard to the trends. Man. Don't sleep. I mean, it's a thing. It's refs are interesting creatures of nature. So it's a thing.
Last thing for you. I was at the Coliseum on Saturday night for the USC victory over Washington State. It was, a very polished win, very solid win. There were no great style points, but they held them to 14 points, a spread offense. Now they're going to Utah. Utah's coming off a loss to UCLA, also undefeated. The spread I've got is Utah -3. Where are you on that game?
Yeah, I jumped on it at +3.5. Are you kidding me? USC is the better team and they're getting points. I don't get this. I don't understand. Now, I get the best competition that they face was Oregon State and I think they're 43rd in the country. Utah's ranked 21st.
Yes.
But yeah, listen, I watched that UCLA game. I have money on UCLA. They got manhandled in the trenches, hat on hat. They got destroyed. Their defense isn't great. I was watching Colin Cowherd today, and I was trying to think the quarterback guru, Carson Palmer's brother, Jesse Palmer
was on. Right.
He said, this is a very strong statement. He said Caleb Williams is the next Patrick Mahomes in the NFL.
Mm.
Okay, so USC plus 2.33 turnover margin so far this season. So I'm all over USC. I think the wrong team is favored here. Give me the better team in the points. I do like it at 3.5. I got it at 3.5. If you want to buy the hook, it's fine. But guys, I'll tell you what, I can't wait to see this matchup with Addison going up against Clark Phillips.
Yeah.
So you have arguably the best wide receiver in the country going up against arguably the best corner in the country. That's going to be a great matchup to watch.
Well, there's a little bit of Anita Marks for today. Now, you do this for 3 hours tonight?
Yes. So we'll talk Rams. We're going to talk Chargers. We're going to talk Major League Baseball series.
Yep.
What's going on with the Dodgers?
Oh yeah.
Tomorrow.
What do you think on the Dodgers? I didn't know you were
this
doing
is very
Dodgers.
Very important. Yeah, and I have to talk to this man for an hour and a half more. So please don't wreck his mood.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, NLDS game number two last night.
Yeah, I don't. I don't think you. I like the Padres +1.5. I like the Padres on the run line. Starting pitching. Let me ask you, how healthy is your starting pitcher?
He's going to give us 4 innings and 75 pitches.
Okay.
But right, Anita, let me give you a point of
information.
Because
he only went 2 innings back on October 3rd.
Let me give you a point of information.
And really what seals it for me is Blake Snell has just been unbelievable. I slept on this Padres team against the Mets. I lost a boatload of money in that Mets Padres series. Blake Snell has been like just on fire. And so I like the pitching matchup with the Padres. So give me the Padres on the run line.
Well, I mean, it's sort of a mixed bag. I think you think the Rams are going to win. USC you love. You like the Padres tomorrow night in NLDS game number 3. So, mixed batting average.
Mace is wishy-washy on you right now.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, but you're a dog lover, so I love you. You're on tonight at 8 p.m., right? And you're going to do 3 hours?
I am. So, yes, I'm going to do 3 hours.
Cool.
We're going to talk all things NFL, some Major League Baseball. We got the NBA coming up, you know. So
awesome. Bet LA is on tonight at 8. Anita, thanks very much for coming on. We appreciate it a lot, and we'll be listening.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Anita.
There's Anita Marks.
I got kicked out of USC's football practice yesterday.
Really? What'd you do?
I was walking up to look at the baseball field. I've never been to their baseball field, and I was talking to a class, and one of the teachers was showing me over there, and like they're right next to each other, the practice field. And so I was just sort of casually looking over, and the guy goes, "Hey, close practice." I was like, "All right, bro, I'm just looking at the yard, bro. Sorry."
Yeah.
You know? But he made me leave.
So. Yeah, there you go. All right, coming up next, I want to ask you something about your Twitter handle, which is weird right now. Also, it's National English Language Day, and I've got a question that comes up all the time. You've got an English teacher in the family.
Yes.
So you probably have accumulated some of this information.
Sure.
But I've got a specific question for you about grammar.
Wow.
That is coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So Dodgers lose last night, 5-3. Interesting. I mean, that game had everything.
Good game.
Yeah, it was a good game. It was a good baseball game.
Yes. Good Major League Baseball postseason matchup.
With a goose. Very rarely seen.
A goose who poses like Craig Kimbrough.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So I'm looking at Twitter today, and your Twitter handle is Taking Back the Sunday Scaries.
Yes.
So
it's a twofold explanation.
What the hell does that mean?
So are you familiar with spooky display names?
No.
No. So there was a thing that started, and this is probably giving away my age and like where I used to live. But like there was a thing that like people used to do, right? That's a great job. Now I'm in the zone.
Wow.
People would change their display names on Twitter
to
something like kind of scary sounding.
Okay.
And then it moved from that to like you'd kind of find a good play on words.
Yep.
And then you'd find something really smart that just kind of scared people or whatever. So people would put like, you know, my scary DN name is like World Hunger or whatever, which
right,
is a whole
sure.
other level. But I decided to do it this year. And this is probably the last thing that I do that's still like very festive on Twitter.
Okay.
And if you know, on top of that, do you know what the Sunday Scaries are?
I have the Sunday Scaries every single Sunday. As they roll Sunday Night Football, I'm thinking, oh,
the
God.
Sunday Scaries are weird.
Yeah.
And I thought to use that play on words and Taking Back Sunday, which is a great pop emo, don't get all my junk for getting that title wrong in terms of the category, but they're just a band.
Okay.
So I'm taking back Scary Sundays.
Okay.
I no longer have Sunday Scaries.
I do.
I try to
Your Twitter handle
those.
Has no impact
no,
on the fact that
impact.
I have Sunday Scaries.
Are you a Halloween guy?
I hate Halloween. We've talked about this. I cannot stand Halloween.
Why not?
It's so junky. It's just so junky. Like my neighborhood, some people are lucky. They live in the neighborhood where everybody puts up Christmas lights,
right?
And it's really cool during the I live in the neighborhood where they put a 10-foot spider on the side of the house.
I love that.
And all that cottony stuff on all the and by the way, it rained, so now the cottony stuff is hanging off. And then there's an inflatable clown, inflatable ghost in the middle of somebody's front yard. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? I feel like I'm at Universal's Scary Park or whatever the hell that is.
This is primarily like an HOA level issue for you. Well, it's not a problem with the actual holiday.
I've never been into Halloween. Like, I quit trick-or-treating when I was probably 12. I said, that's it.
Okay.
I'm not dressing up. I'm not playing these reindeer games anymore.
I didn't like Halloween when I was a kid because I didn't like
I hate Halloween.
I didn't like the idea of, like, forced costumes.
Yeah.
That was always bad news for me. I'm like, if I don't want to dress up, I'm not going to dress up. I didn't really like Halloween in high school either because I didn't really like anything in high school that didn't involve, let's just say, wellness. And playing sports.
Yes.
In college, I really liked Halloween. Halloween was fun.
Well, we went to Ohio U, which had a big Halloween party.
You went to Ohio,
party,
I went to Miami, and we used to go to Ohio every once in a while, and go to OU every once in a while for that.
But that was just an excuse to get drunk.
That
I
was
never
an excuse
up.
To get drunk, but we did dress up when we would wear, like, team outfits. That was cool. That was the first time I'd ever experienced that. As an adult, Halloween became a little more lame to me, but then, Mace,
yep.
I started working in television.
Oh, right.
And
so you probably
Halloween
have to do it, right?
Is a fantastic television holiday. I'm not dressing up this year, but I have in previous years. But here's why it's great. Greg, you'll understand this. You can wear a costume. Everybody will see your costume. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to go out in your costume
right.
be around other people. That is the clutch part about why Halloween is such a great television
Well, they canceled. I don't know if you ever went to the West Hollywood Halloween. It's spectacular. It's
sure.
Like
I love a good costume, you know, costume party.
Juan and I went one year as Bert and Ernie.
How'd that go?
Oh, it's very funny.
That's a good bit. Yeah. Team costumes always work better than singular costumes.
But they just clutter up my neighborhood. I'm like, come on, get this house.
You're gonna get out there with an airsoft gun and start blasting.
No,
down
I just, people's. I just, am I the only one that doesn't like this
yes.
total?
Yes, yes.
There's
you are.
A 10-foot spider on the side of somebody's house.
If it was a 20-foot skeleton, I would go see it today.
Yeah, absolutely. John Ireland does the old man voice, but you're sounding like the old man.
No, screw you. I just don't like Halloween. I've never liked Halloween.
Do you not even support the children trick or treating?
You know, no kids come to my house.
Of course they don't. Because you have a robot dog that's
trying to kill
them.
No, no, because have you been to my house? I'm on sort of a side street kind of thing.
Yeah, side street. You got to go up these big steps.
Yeah, so nobody comes to my house. So okay. I'm like, screw it. I always have a bowl full of Reese's peanut
that's
butter cups just
house.
In case.
Perfect for Haunted House.
Yeah,
you should
I'm
put
not
signs.
Doing
you
that
could get up there, and then they knock on your door, and then you give them candy. Yeah,
you put webs going around the sides.
Exactly. We put a big old spider, Oogie Boogie, like inflatable outside of it.
Oogie. We could really do it up.
By the way, how'd that TikTok go in the break that you were trying to tape there?
I don't think I quite nailed it.
I
did not nail the TikTok.
How many times do you typically, what's your average, like we're going to go Anita Marks on this. What's your average rehearsal per TikTok and when you have to participate in those? Because I see they stick cameras in your face a lot, Mace. I will give you credit for participating.
Do this.
Yes, exactly.
And I'm like, well, I'm doing a bunch of things all at once. I'm sorry, I don't recall the in- Is it Sophia?
Sophia,
who's our TikTok. She's an intern here, and she does a great job and all that stuff. But I totally screwed up my TikTok. I'll do it.
It's kind of amazing, though, too, because you nail reads first time every single time.
Yeah, cold reads. I'm Captain Cold Reads.
Sure.
You can put anything in front of me. I can deliver.
That's a good. That is a Halloween costume I can
endorse.
One take,
Jake.
Captain Cold Reads.
Yeah. Yeah, one take
base. I hate Halloween.
Wow.
Yeah, I hate Halloween. Wow.
Wow.
All right, coming up next for you, Bobcat. Bergman's going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. At 3 o'clock, I want to talk about Daniel Snyder.
Ash Bernstein. We have a lot to talk about.
There's a lot going on there. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Thank you very much, Chris and Amanda. All right, so I have to get to this first question. All right, so Damian Lillard is a lifelong trailblazer and has started and stated many times that he doesn't want to leave. Smart or not, that's up to him. He recently just said that he wants to win as a trailblazer. I want to win a championship where I am. I don't think I would feel the same joy and happiness if I did it elsewhere. Where is the line between loyalty and victories? And is he a Hall of Famer without the championship?
He's a Hall of Famer without the championship.
Why?
Because Hall of Fame doesn't mean a ton.
Preponderance of evidence. He's been an unbelievably successful player, dynamic player. I'm sure he shows up on all the scoring lists and all that kind of stuff. What I have read is that he wants to be in Portland to pass Clyde Drexler as the leading scorer in Blazers history. And if he does that, maybe then he'll spring himself to a place he can win.
I had not thought of it that way, but that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Good call. I like that. Also, the Basketball Hall of Fame threshold, low.
Very.
Very low.
I mean, college.
I'm not going to say that it's not impressive to make a Hall of Fame, but as far as the four major sports go in this country, it is the lowest barrier to entry because it is not about your professional career. It's about all of the basketball you've played. So.
And by the way, I do think – so at the end of the day, I think he will – go chase a ring somewhere.
Oh, so you think he will leave?
I think he will after he surpasses Clyde Drexler's all-time Blazer scoring record.
How far away is he from that?
I don't know. I just read an article about that. That's his thing. Yeah, that's his thing. Actually, I've got it right here, as a matter of fact.
You ever been to Portland, Greg?
No, I would love to go, though.
Portland is where people go when they fail in L.A.
For those of you not watching on the stream, he did that and then tucked away from the microphone because he knew that was a foul comment. Portland, very...
All my friends who flame out moved to Portland.
Portland, very quiet city. I'm a reasonably loud person, but even in like loud places in Portland, people are very quiet. It's very odd.
That is very odd. Did you find the stat that you're looking for?
No,
you want to go to Bobcat?
Didn't find it.
We're going to Bobcat.
Bobcat.
All right, so one of our very loyal listeners, Clinton, you know her, Siobhan.
Yeah.
Siobhan. I met Siobhan at the Mandy Awards.
Yeah.
Yes, very nice. She had a tweet this morning about how she hates the people that drive in the exit lane on the freeway and then stop traffic by trying to get back into the onto the freeway.
Yep.
How often do you do this?
Okay, describe it again.
So you're on the exit lane to
right.
get off.
And
to
basically
get off where it says exit only.
Yeah, so you're on that one lane.
Yep.
And you're going to get off the freeway, but instead you cut back into the lane to get back onto the freeway and sometimes stop to get back into that.
You know, I tend to always know generally where I'm going, so I know if I'm in the exit lane, I'm about to exit, and if I know I'm not exiting, that I'm not in that lane. I don't understand the crisis.
I'll explain. Number one, this is a highly dangerous maneuver on all levels, so
Do
I'm with Siobhan.
All the time.
But here's the other thing. If you don't know where you're going mm-hmm. and you're using GPS, sometimes it'll do that to you. Like, where, you know how, like, sometimes the exit lanes will be like a little side corridor
thing? Right.
It'll put you on those, going on and off them the entire way as a way to avoid, like, congestion, which is unsafe and it's weird, but people do it all the time, and it doesn't work. Like, I'm totally with Siobhan. It's reckless.
You know what's interesting? I have grown to love driving in L.A.
I don't mind driving in LA.
Who actually, are you?
Me too.
It's actually kind of fun.
Yeah.
I never know what I'm going to get.
Are you a surface streets or a freeway person?
I'm a freeway person, man. I zig and zag all over the freeway on my
way
home.
I've never had fun with that. Traffic and fun in the same sentence.
Traffic, fun, I'm all in, man. This is part of the deal. It's part of the e-ticket LA experience. I'm always curious about what happens when I'm on the freeway at 2 o'clock in the morning. All of a sudden, everything stops. There's a sig alert. I'm like, what the hell just happened?
Right.
You turn on KNX and you try to figure it out. I think
2 a.m. in the morning? When's the last time you were on the freeway at 2 a.m. in the morning?
Never. Not right now.
I was going to say, you didn't go to the Dodger game.
Trying to think. Okay, Dodger game the other night. Okay. 11 o'clock.
All right.
11.
So 2 a.m. Eastern time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2 a.m. Eastern time, exactly.
No, but I wrote construction
at 2 o'clock in the morning. That's a normal thing.
That's the worst, too. They close the freeways and
everything. Close the freeway altogether, yeah.
I rode in an Uber with a guy who was in a, what are those cars called? Telstars?
Teslas?
No. There's something called, it's something.
A Subaru kind of?
No.
It's called, like, a Telstar?
I think there's like a name
Chrysler?
For a
car?
I think that's like out of Star Wars.
No. Put the money into and it.
There's something.
Everybody, on to the Telstar.
You put all the change into it and
that's
it gives
a,
you cash.
That's a phone
like
card
a,
in Mexico.
You know, now I got to look this up, but that's a phone card in
it
Mexico.
It is. It's full and service.
There's like a car. It's not a Tesla. People, help me out, listeners. I can't remember the name of this car. Anyway, it's like some. It's not an off-brand, but it's like some non-Tesla Tesla. Anyway.
There's Telstar satellites.
Oh, man.
I don't think you're writing it.
There's
satellite.
An instrument called a Telstar.
I'm getting my phone. I'm going to the app, and I'm looking up
There's the Telstar National Air and Space Museum.
I'm looking
Museum.
Up this stupid ride. Anyway.
But there's a right way to do this in the exit lane, by the way, too.
Yes, what is, there you do, is.
If you're going on the exit lane, you have to find a spot where there's a large space between the cars that you can get into. Otherwise, you don't stop. You cannot stop and block that exit. You either try and find that spot, or you actually get off of the freeway and back onto the freeway.
Okay, got it.
Right, I agree.
Hazard.
Advice, well taken. Very sage advice.
History. Hold on. Good
advice. What the Ford Telstar is an automobile that was sold by Ford in Asia, Australia,
Polestar
and Africa.
Polestar found it.
What?
Polestar.
Polestar.
Oh, Polestar.
Yes.
Is that what Ireland
and what
went
to?
That's what this guy had. And he was zooming around town like he thought he was in some superhero movie. And he was like all mad at me because I was not acknowledging the fact that he was playing really loud hip hop and thinking he was cool. And I was just ignoring him. So he was driving like a nutso all over the daggone road and kept looking back at me as if it was going to startle me. 3 stars he got. 0 tip.
Oh, for the
no star.
No stars. Right. I was furious. I hate it when Uber drivers try to make it seem as if there has to be some super deep personal connection between the two people driving.
Oh,
I'm a nice guy. I'm a nice person.
I'll have a nice conversation.
I'll have a quickie conversation. But I live just far enough from the freeway where here's how it goes, Jorge. We chalk talk, chit chat until the freeway, and then we stop talking. I can't do it all the way down. That's too much time. You know what I'm saying?
What do you tip on? You've got options.
I tip the 15%, most
20%,
25%. I tip the most every time. I tip 25% every time.
I just gave, and it's weird because then you open Uber and you realize you haven't
done it for
rated
the night
or
before.
The night
or whatever,
before.
Yeah.
So, Henry, congratulations, 25% and 5 stars. I think it was a good ride from what I remember.
This guy's Polestar was making me mad, though.
Yeah.
Isolate that, Morales.
I always get the Spanish Uber.
What's it called? Uber?
No, Uber, but like somebody that speaks Spanish.
Oh, would you like Spanish? Do they have that?
Yeah, and they're
option?
Like, oh, ¿eres Jorge? Sí, soy yo.
Soy yo.
Yeah.
Bobcat.
All right, what you got, Jorge?
All right, Mason, so you hate Halloween. Got me thinking. What are your.
Hold on.
So, what are your favorite holidays? Give me your top three.
Top three. Number one, Christmas.
Okay.
I think everybody can agree.
Xmas is strong.
Nope.
Number two, Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Thanksgiving's number one for
correct.
Me.
Correct. Number one.
And number three, let's see. I'll say New Year's only because it's my anniversary.
Okay.
My anniversary is New Year's. We'll be 18 years on January 1st.
I'm a big Arbor Day guy.
Wow.
No, I'm joking.
Arbor Day's
I'm
big.
Arbor Day. Bastille Day.
Bastille Day is great.
What are we, French? No. New Year's Day, amateur Alrighty. Hour holiday, but also a really fun one. Like, if you're not in the business of just getting hammered, it's a very... Like, I do this thing on New Year's where at the end of every, this is sort of an extended bit, but I write a letter every New Year's to myself about the year before.
Really?
And then you put that letter in an envelope, and then the next year, you write another letter, and then after you write that letter, you read the letter from the year before, and so on, and so
Sounds
on.
Sounds like
so
you're on. Just talking to yourself, dude.
Yeah, I am. That's the idea. Self-reflection.
Now you go back and then you read the last letter and you say, "How did I do this year?" Oh,
or how, or like, where did I think I was at the end of this year versus where I am?
Okay,
versus the year before.
It's an interesting process.
Yeah. When do you read it though? Like, do you read it the 31st?
You
or the
read
2nd?
It. I don't know. I mean, it depends. Whenever you do it, it's whenever you do it. Mm. But the point is that you get a letter in the hole, and then you write another one, and then you make sure that after you write another one, you read the last one to see where your progress has become.
Wow, sounds complicated.
It's two letters.
Wow.
Mega comment. Wow.
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 Bobcat.
That'll do it.
That's it.
Time to go.
That's it. Okay. Coming up next, Daniel Snyder.
Daniel M. Snyder.
Says he's got dirt on everybody, and he's like a cornered animal. That's coming up next. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.